Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Thursday, October 28th, 2021. A suspected left-wing extremist worked for several months under a false identity as a janitor for the Berlin police. According to reporting by the Berliner Zeitung, the 54-year-old was employed at Augustaplatz in Lichterfelde, which houses the personal security forces, the Special Operations Units, or the SEK, and the Reconnaissance Division. The man was exposed after he was caught using drugs on the premises on Friday, after which his true identity became known, along with the fact that he is registered as a criminal by the security authorities under politically motivated crime left. A police spokesperson told the Berliner Morgenpost, quote, "We banned him from the building with immediate effect and took away his access keys," unquote. The man had been working at the property, which also houses the reconnaissance department, since the summer. These are civilian forces who walk unrecognized among demonstrators and observe any stone or bottle throwing, for example. The police are now investigating how it was possible for him to be hired and why no security check was apparently carried out. The man was not employed by the police, but through the state-owned Berliner Immobilienmanagement, or BIM, which manages police properties. A BIM spokesperson confirmed that the man came through a facility management service provider with whom there was a general contract, and that depending on the location, certain security-related data might also be requested. They explained, quote, "We're not the police, and our options are limited," unquote, adding that it was not possible to carry out in-depth background checks, which, according to them, is the task of the police. The spokesman for the Berlin Police Union, Benjamin Yendro, stated, quote, "This is an unbelievable incident that can hardly be surpassed in embarrassment. We are talking about a department with highly sensitive activities and units for which anonymity is vital," unquote. He said the case shows how incomplete the mandated security screening is, which needs to be adjusted as quickly as possible and made more rigorous. Yendro also called for separate facility management for police and other state properties, quote, "to work with their own people, create a closer bond, and prevent exactly this kind of thing." A little over 2 years after a traffic accident in Mitte that killed 4 people, the trial of the driver began yesterday. The public prosecutor's office is accusing the 44-year-old man of negligent homicide and reckless endangerment of people on the road. In their view, he should not have been at the wheel of the SUV for health reasons. The Berlin Regional Court initially plans 20 trial days until the beginning of February of 2022 to clarify exactly what happened. To review what we reported back when it originally occurred in September of 2019, the SUV of the defendant hit a traffic light on Invalidenstrasse, overturned several times, and hit people on the sidewalk. 4 people died, including a 3-year-old. According to the court, the driver had previously swerved through a red light in front of which several vehicles were waiting and accelerated significantly. As a result of an epileptic seizure, the driver had convulsed and continued to drive in a, quote, "constant full acceleration in a straight line," unquote, for about 80 meters, with the accelerator pedal depressed. Per the court spokeswoman Lisa Yanni, 9 survivors have been admitted to the trial as joint plaintiffs, and although it remains to be seen whether they will have to appear in court, about 70 witnesses have been named by the prosecution. Due to the medical issues alone, an extensive hearing of evidence is to be expected. The case did cause nationwide outrage and sparked a discussion about the dangers of driving. Initially, the focus was on whether SUVs are particularly dangerous. However, the debate quickly focused on the overall tense traffic situation around the scene of the accident. Speed limits of 30 kilometers per hour were then introduced in the area. Protected bike lanes were created, and currently a scholarly project is investigating what other changes would be beneficial to ensure a livable and safe neighborhood. Germany's largest real estate group, Vonovia, is expanding its power at Deutsche Wohnen. As they announced on Tuesday, Vonovia has once again been able to acquire shares of the former second largest company in the industry and now holds 87.6% after the conclusion of the second acceptance period. The Bochum-based group recently succeeded in acquiring a major stake in Deutsche Wohnen in its third attempt, creating a European real estate giant with around 568,000 apartments, mainly in Germany. Vonovia CEO Rolf Buch said, quote, "We can now join forces to tackle the major social and societal changes in the housing market," unquote, adding that Vonovia has proven many times that managing a larger number of apartments can yield significant rewards that benefit all shareholders, stressing, quote, "We stand by our responsibility to work with policymakers on concrete solutions for affordable and climate-friendly housing," unquote. Buch had launched a first takeover attempt in 2016, at the time against the will of Deutsche Wohnen's management. In the second attempt this year, he was able to get the management and supervisory board of the Berlin-based company on board, but not enough shareholders. And for the third attempt, Vonovia increased the offer to 53 euros per share, and because Buch also dropped several conditions from the offer, there had recently been no doubt that the takeover would succeed, and the hedge fund Davidson Kempner, which wanted to stop the takeover, had to give in. The deal is controversial, especially in Berlin, where Deutsche Wohnen owns around 114,000 apartments. To appease their critics, Vonovia CEO Buch had announced, among other things, a cap on regular rent increases in the capital until 2026. And Deutsche Wohnen and Vonovia also sold 14,750 apartments in Berlin to three state-owned companies for almost 2.5 billion euros. According to Tuesday's Senate resolution, visitors to Berlin's Christmas markets must wear a protective mask because of the corona pandemic. However, this does not apply to markets whose operators rely on the 2G rule with entry controls, where only vaccinated and recovered people have access, as well as children under 12 for whom no vaccinations have been offered, and those who cannot be vaccinated for medical reasons. Finance Senator Matthias Kollatz explained after the meeting that at all Christmas markets where 2G does not apply, and that is likely to be most of them because of a lack of entry controls, first of all, everyone is admitted, and the 3G rule does not apply, and therefore those unvaccinated do not have to prove negative tests. The situation is somewhat different in closed restaurants on the grounds of Christmas markets, however, where operators can choose whether to use 2G just for the vaccinated and recovered or 3G. So, in other words, unvaccinated people would only be admitted to 3G indoor gastronomy after providing proof of a negative corona test. If you like our podcast, you can support us with a donation or simply help others discover us by liking and sharing our episodes on social media. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.